We love you, Lord. I do want to see the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. David of old said, "One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may inquire at your temple and behold your beauty." You may be seated for a few moments. This is a good song to segue into something I have to share from my heart, and I pray it's from God's heart. I prepare, I study to show myself approved, but I want to find the heart of God. I want to find a seed thought from Him. Sometimes it comes late in the night, but I don't cram anymore on Saturday night to see what I can come up with for Sunday morning. I know a lot of preachers who do that because they've been so busy they haven't had time to seek the Lord until they're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that He can drop that seed thought into their heart. And so, I don't know, I think I was in Lowe's yesterday when God just dropped the seed thought. I go about my day different than a lot of people. I ask the Lord to give me focus and give me clarity of mind that I may drive safely. I don't want to get in another accident and have my insurance go up. Amen. I drove so safe for so long. And I said, "Lord, why did you let me do that?" He said, "Because some lady said, 'Come on, come on.'" She was holding up traffic to let me turn. And she was impatient. And I was looking at her, and I wasn't looking at the car that was impatient being held up by her that went out around all the other cars and gunned it toward me while I turned and caught just the rear end of my car. And I thought, doofus. And I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about me listening to her instead of looking for him. Anybody ever been a doofus? Thank you for honesty. Really? Seriously? Already you're becoming doofuses? No, we just make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And you never get too old to watch out. You need to be cautious. But I also ask for something else. I say, "Lord, give me clarity of mind. Not only that I may have a safe day, cover me with the covering of your Spirit. And give me clarity of mind and give me focus. But also that I may hear and heed your Spirit as you lead me by the Holy Spirit." And that's why He can drop into my heart while I'm doing a business transaction in Lowe's. Anyway, and it wasn't fun. But He dropped it in my heart today. He said, "Many in my heart," this is my heart, this is my interpretation of what He put in my heart. "Many of my people..." My own people, it says the world doesn't know me at all. They don't know God. They don't get God. They don't understand why we are like we are in our relationship with Him. And He said He has no expectation of the world knowing Him. But He has an expectation of His people, His children, knowing Him. And He said the reason many people prayer life is so shallow and so empty of result, and so many people that doubt so easily, doubt His love when things don't go the way we thought it should be going, easy to fall into doubt. He said it's because they don't know me. They don't know me. My people don't really know me. The Apostle Paul had a Pentecostal experienced background that is just he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, if you count Hebrews, and that's a debated thing, and I'm not here to debate it. I'm going to still give it to Paul because of what he said to the Hebrew people. But listen to his own people. He said at Mars Hill, "You worship these gods of the Greeks," this plethora of gods that they worshiped. He said, "You don't know what you worship. We know what or who we worship." And he told them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of James, Paul, and Peter. And hallelujah. Many of my people don't know me. How can they trust me? They don't trust me with their burdens. They don't trust me with their fears. They don't trust me with their problems. They don't cast their burden on me because they don't trust me. And they can't trust me because the Scripture tells them to trust me. They can only trust me if they know me well enough. Yeah. Amen. And they need to know me. They need to know me. They need to know me. Did anybody see the Jim Carrey or any of the Scrooge at Christmas? Anybody see Ebenezer Scrooge thing? Oh, yeah. There's this guy who's representing joy, the Christmas joy, the reason for the season. Yeah. He's this guy, he's this big guy, and he's just full of joy. And in one of the versions that had Jim Carrey in it, we saw it 3D at Channelside. We had on our 3D glasses when that guy come up. He's bigger than life. He's out right there in front of us. And he says, come. And Scrooge don't want to go. He don't want to go. He don't want to get close. This guy's glittering. He's glorious. He's got the joy of Christ and the joy of God, the joy of the Lord. Amen. He said, come and know me better, man. Come and know me better. You should come to church to know God better. Amen. Not just because, oh yeah, I know about Him and I know about Jesus. But to know Him. The word that is used, it's a little word. In fact, it's a word you wouldn't think had such import to it. It's yada. Y-A-D-A. Have you ever heard somebody talking about somebody that used the slang? And they're saying, he went on and on, yada, yada, yada. Well, that yada, 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 that's just slang for just continuous talking. But that little four-letter yada in the Hebrew, it meant intimate relationship with and knowledge of God. Adam knew his wife, and then she conceived, and they had children. Amen? Amen. They that know their God, yada. This is not know of Him, but know Him. They that do know their God have a relationship with Him and a revelation of Him, that they know Him. They know Him. They that know their God, yada, will be strong and do exploits. Why? Because their faith is going to be so elevated. Their trust is going to be so complete in Him. To know Him is not just to love Him, it's to trust Him. Amen. We've known and believed the love that God has for us because it says so in the Bible. It's not going to work. It does say so in the Bible. But you're not going to have yada because it says so in the Bible. You have to meet a person. You can't love Him because it says thou shalt love Him. Amen. You've got to know something about a person that solicits that love. David had he couldn't have this presence of God that we can enter into. But he said, when I go to the temple to worship, there's a veil and I can't go behind it. But I know who's behind it. And I can go into the gate and I can get close. I can get in proximity to the earthly manifestation of the presence of God. So no more is my concept of Him sitting high aloof in His heaven, but He's a right here, right now God, and He's right behind that curtain. Amen. That linen curtain that said, keep out, you can't come back here. But even in His limited understanding and ability to approach God, He said, I desire this so much. I desire to know Him. One thing, it drove Him. One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may enter into His temple and behold His beauty. He couldn't see behind that veil, but he knew a good. He knew a good and gracious God was right there, or right here, right now, God. And I'm that close to the God that not only created, but the God that delivered me from the hand of the bear and the lion and from Goliath the Philistine. But I don't just know him in his power. I want you to get that. Not just in his power, but in his very person. Yada, they that do know their God. For truly, 1 John says, our fellowship, koinonia, and we're back into that intimate word again. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to trust Him. To try to trust Him without knowing Him would be if a complete stranger came up to me that I've never met in my life and said, God told me to put $100,000 in your bank account. Oh, by the way, if anyone here wants to do that today, you take a picture of this and you can transfer that $100,000 directly to the church bank account, not mine, the church's, and they'll help me and it all works together. Elon Musk, he can see that online? Oh, I just want to, I want to make sure that he can see it. The Lord may save him and might want to tithe someday. Brother. Hallelujah. Listen, it is extremely important that we come to know the Father. Jesus wanted us to know the Father. He said, the reason you're not trusting, listen to what he said. Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. You've asked the Father nothing in my name. They went to Jesus, but God was always beyond knowing. He's the God that dwells in an unapproachable light. He's invisible, and yet he's more real than anything that you can see. In fact, everything we see, he created. Everything that is seen, he created, along with Christ. And he said, heretofore, you haven't asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask. Oh, and he said this. He said, I do not say that I shall pray for you. He intercedes for us so we can have a relationship with the Father. Yeah. I do not say that I shall pray for you. I don't need to. I've already interceded for you, and you have a reconciled relationship with God to the extent that you can call Him Abba Father. Now, if you're here today trying to serve God like you're supposed to serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you don't know Him, you're failing. I'll tell you straight up, you are failing royally. You will give in to temptation. You, not just temptation to sin, but you will fall into doubt. You will entertain fear. You will never love Him back for loving you because it says so in the Bible. I don't love my wife because the minister said you're to love her. The Bible says you're to love her. No man's ever hated his own body, but nourisheth and cherisheth. Amen. Like Christ the church. To love her like that, just because it says so in the Bible, without the love of God in my heart for her, I can't love her like that. She can't love me like that. You know what keeps me faithful to my wife? Because the Bible says if you commit adultery, I'm going to... No, no, no. It's not the fear and dread of... Sure, I understand the consequences. But I don't want anybody else. I love my wife. I mean, temptation is everywhere. What was it? It was cash and carry? Anyway, she went shopping and some young man, we'd been married just a little while. She was still in her teens. And she was a looker. But she was taken. You understand? She was taken. She was spoken for. We were married. She had a ring on her finger, not around her neck. We were not going steady. We were married. And he saw the ring, and he knew she was married, and this is what he asked her. She told me when she got home, "Do you date out?" In other words, I see you have a ring on, but that ain't going to stop me from asking you if you date out. In other words, do you date out on your husband? What a guy. Yeah, he's a player. Everybody say, he a player. Yeah, he certainly is a player. I wanted to go. Did you restrain me? Why did I not go? I wanted to go over there. I'm little, but I'm wiry. Amen. Amen. I wanted to go over and just let him know on no uncertain terms to step outside with me so I could make it emphatic. You do not ask my wife out. I'm going to tell you something. When you come to Jesus, God is jealous over you. And it's inordinate. It's the ordinary thing for him to be. He's a jealous God. That means you belong to me. You don't belong to those false gods that you've been bowing to, Israel. Amen. You belong to me. And I claim you as my own. And actually, he said, I'm going to keep you as the apple of my eye. And Jesus put it this way, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me personally. Amen. Whatever you do to them, you do to him. I would suggest to all those people who want to hurt the children of the Lord, whatever you do to them, you do to him. And a payday is coming. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you to Christ as a chaste virgin, not spotted by the world. In fact, we're to come to the place, according to the book of James, that we despise the garment spotted by the flesh. Can you say amen? Amen. To love God is to hate evil. You can't love God. You can't eat at the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Did you know a day is coming when a pit is going to be opened and demons, according to the book of Revelation, maybe we're being prepped for it by the movie, some movie out now about Disclosure Day that says many Christians are going to lose their faith if you see this, because you're going to believe in some, that God, the concept of God is passé, and the real God is these intelligent beings that come from some other planet because of their technology and intelligentsia. And I think it was Spielberg said, many Christians, this is going to shake your faith. And I thought, you don't know who I know. You do not know who I met. I didn't just get religion. I grew up with religion. I was drugged to church. I was given incentives to go to church. Because after church, I got a milkshake on the way home. And I love milkshakes. My daddy, we would get near the Biff Burger, I think it was. They had sesame seeds on top of the buns. And they had good milkshakes for cheap. And my dad, we'd be headed home. And he'd act like someone took over the wheel of the car. And he was fighting the wheel. I love to play this game with my daddy. Amen. He would get near the Biff Burger. And he would, like he's fighting the wheel. But the car is trying to turn in. And he said, Bobby, I can't control the car. We pull up in the parking lot of the Biff Burger, and he said, how would you like a milkshake? Now, my daddy didn't have no money. My great-grandma gave him $2 when we went to church so we could get a milkshake on the way home. And I thought, I can't wait to go to church. You know why? Milkshake. I had an incentive. Milkshake. Are you going to buy these guys a milkshake? I don't know. I'm just saying. Y'all like milkshakes? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Going to buy me a milkshake. And not only that, but I discovered what I know these two guys have already discovered. Girls are pretty. You don't just throw rocks at them and stuff. I mean, seriously, a guy that was sweet on my wife when she was young, you know, 10 years old, you know, and she knew his sister. And she said, "Why is your brother always throwing rocks at me? Every time I come around, he's about 8 or 9 years old, and he's throwing rocks at Pamela."
I had no fat back
then. He said the reason he's throwing rocks is because he likes her. Amen. So I found out that girls are sure pretty. And I'm in church, and notes are being passed. I catch those all the time, just like you catch cell phones and stuff. Amen. Got eyes in the back of my head for that. Somebody passed me a note and said, "So-and-so," and I knew who the so-and-so was, a young lady about 12 years old, about my age. She might have been 13. Older woman. Cougar. Come on, you got to give me fist bump. I know. Come on, you know your pastor. Amen. So and so liked you, and when I found out, not only are girls really pretty, but this girl likes me. Now I have two incentives. I've got a girl who is a potential girlfriend at church. And on top of that, I got a milkshake on the way home. I'm going to church Sunday. Come on, when you're 12, and not only that, but I got up and I put on my little outfit and I had a bow tie. And I was short back then. Amen. And she was taller than me, but I wanted to appear taller. So when I stood with my daddy at church, and I knew she was looking, there's a song about that, country music song. Anybody ever heard it? Probably not, but I'll tell it to you. I was looking back to see if she was looking back to see, if I was looking back to see, if she was looking back at me. And that's what happened at church. I'm looking back to see if she was looking back to see, if I was looking back to see if she was looking back at me, and we were looking back at each other. And I thought, I got to stand tall because she's taller than me. And I stood like this through the church service. And Dad said, a guy asked him, fellow musician actually, said, is your son going to military school? And I thought, I don't even hardly go to elementary school. I was just last sixth grade, I guess. He said, "Why do you ask?" And the guy said, "Well, he always stands up so straight. I was trying to stretch out and be tall." I knew about Jesus. I knew and believed that there was a, quote, man upstairs. I knew there was a God. I did not doubt that. I was raised in a Christian home, as far as my dad was concerned. Taken to church, heard the preaching, but I did not know Jesus. I never met the Master. My life didn't change because I knew about Him. My life changed when I came to know Him. To know Him. Yada. Say it with me. Yada. What a little word that means so very much to our relationship to and with God. Amen. It's an intimate word. Adam, yada, knew his wife. Listen carefully. I remember the night, part of my testimony before we can go much further. I'll read a few scriptures. I remember the night that I had made googly eyes at my potential girlfriend. I had another note passed to me confirming the fact that she was interested in me. I had read those notes, put them in my pocket. I had looked at the clock. I knew the service would be over soon. And I not only got to make googly eyes at my potential girlfriend, but I'm going to get a milkshake on the way home. And I can't wait for my pastor at that time to say, God bless you. See you next week so we can go and my dad can fight the wheel of that car when we get near the Biff Burger. So my mind is not on heaven or the hereafter or God or Christ, sung about Him, heard His word. Service is over. He's getting ready to pray, put his Bible down. Suddenly turned around. And if you're in a Pentecostal service, it's not over until it's over. Amen. And it ain't over until the Holy Spirit just says it's over. And he said, I believe God is going to speak to somebody in this audience before we go home. And he asked three women who used to do specials, would you come and sing whatever's on your heart? And they came to the piano. One played and the other two stood by her. And they began to play softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Over life's ramparts, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. And I thought, I've never felt like this. It wasn't the song or where my mind was, but suddenly the Holy Spirit began to draw me to come to Jesus. I hadn't had time to get into a whole lot of sin, but God wanted to head me off then. I backslid because I didn't come to know Him like I needed to know Him. And I had to come back to Him, and I did come back to Him. Amen. But listen, I would have never come to Him without the Holy Spirit drawing me to Him. Jesus said this, religion can't do this for you. The preacher can't do this for you. Mama can't, Daddy can't. No man comes to me except my Spirit draw. I'm going to give an invitation for people to come to the Lord every opportunity I can. But only God can convict and convince the heart by His Spirit of the need for a Savior. Only God can do that. That's not a religion thing, a theology thing, preacher thing. That's a God thing. No matter how persuasive the preacher may be or how many stories he may tell to get people to get their attention, only the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He and He alone will convince, which means in the Greek, convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When He comes, friend of mine, more than just a tongue-talking, Spirit-filled group of people occurred on the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit came to this earth to convince everyone who doesn't know Jesus that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, and then present Christ to them and to draw them. And Jesus said, and no man comes to the Father except by Me. You've got to know Christ. You can't just know your creed, your dogma. You can't just have the correct theology. You have to meet the Master. If you hadn't met the Master, you might have come out of some other religious system, and all you did was switch religions. And religion, even the right religion, cannot and will not secure you for heaven. You can't get saved because you just decide to become a Christian. Amen. Baptism in water means nothing unless there's a spiritual transaction. Amen. Between you and the Master. Amen. Buried with Him in baptism, raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. But the first baptism that occurs to make that mean anything to God or you, when you get saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a denomination. That's not an organization. That's not a religious body. That is His spiritual body. This is a union with Christ. You are placed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's not figuratively. That's a spiritual reality. And if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, they are not the old man made over, made better. He is a new creation. Yeah. Old things have passed away, buried with Him. Yeah. And everything has become new. If you're not living in this new world, this kingdom of God life, you've never met the Master. Got the right religion. Quote the scriptures to people. Amen. There are many people going to miss heaven. According to Jesus' own words, few there be that find the only way that leads there. Only a few out of the populace of the world are going to make heaven their home. God wants everybody saved, but only a few will respond to the call to salvation. Amen. I'm not disappointed if no one. It breaks my heart when we make an altar call and no one comes. But I'm not disappointed in God or the gospel, because it calls us to Christ. And I know I'm not alone when I preach. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here right now. Amen. Amen. I grew up in the right religion, the right faith. I knew about God. I knew about Jesus. But I met Him at 12 years old on a Sunday night. And I can tell you the time and take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. I didn't make that up. That's a song. Amen. Pastor didn't bust a rhyme today. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. I can take you to Holland and Astor here in Tampa, to a little church on the corner. And they used to tell people, if you want to come and visit us, just holler and Astor. We're at the corner of Holland and Astor. And I'll never forget my pastor stopping, as bad as I wanted out of there, stopping and saying, I believe God is going to speak to somebody in this audience. He had his chance. He preached. But when the Lord spoke to my heart, you need to come to me and let me save your soul, repent of your sin. I began to weep. I went to the altar. I prayed. And the devil didn't want to let me go. After that, my dad and my mother went through a terrible divorce. I got bitter at both of them because it broke my heart. And they were concerned about each other's hurt. And nobody considered what it was doing to me. And I got angry. I got mad. I got upset. I got bitterness in my heart. And I became that rebel that she warned my wife about. I almost had a breakdown, nervous breakdown. I hurt a young man because of the rage that was in me. He was a bully on the school bus, and he would flip my ear. He's bigger than me. He'd flip my ear. It hurts when you get your ear flipped. And if it's an everyday thing, and I would tell him, you better stop that. Stop it. Boom, boom, boom. And all that rage that was in me building up, kept on building up. When we got off the bus, I thought, he's bigger than me. I'm not going to call him out. I'm going to take him out. It's called a sucker punch. You know what a sucker punch is? You don't see it coming. So I decided, and I better hit him hard. I kind of had this kind of idea. If I hit him with everything I got, and he falls down, I win. If he gets up, I run. I mean, you got to have a backup plan. So he got off the bus. He had his books in his hand. So I thought, now's my chance. He's not going to flick my ear no more. Whether I stand or fall, he might get up and beat me up. But every time we get off of this bus, I'm going for it. And I hit him with everything I had. We were beside a ditch. He fell into that ditch, and he laid there. And I looked down, and I didn't gloat. I just thought, I don't have to run. He's got, as long as he leave me alone, as far as I'm concerned, we're done. We're done. I got home, his mother called. The house, my mother's at work. And she said, do you know what happened at the bus stop? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, when my son came home, he couldn't remember what happened. And I thought, oh, Lord, I got to tell her what I did to your son. And I thought, what? And she said, he's dazed. And I thought, Lord, if I have hurt him, you know, and the popo going to be at my door next. You know who the popo is, right? Okay. They're going to be at my door next. Because all this anger and rage that was inside of me came out. And how easy it would be when that rage comes out to do something that can change the trajectory of your whole life. I'm so glad God convicted me and God drew me. I've served the devil and I've let my flesh rule me. And I do not want to serve the devil anymore. I want to serve God. He's a good and gracious God. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I draw my last breath. It's not because of my age. It's because that the cemeteries are full of babies, teenagers, young people, middle-aged people, old people, everybody. There's no time that you can say when I get this old, get as old as him, and I can't party hardy, I'll come to Jesus. No, you won't. You'll come in response to God's call, because no man comes to me except my Father draw him. Amen. And when he draws you, that's conviction. And he's the one that does it because he doesn't want you lost. He gave his son for you. Christ gave his life for you. He wants you in heaven with him. But the devil is very, very committed to your destruction. If we don't come to know him as Christians after we get saved, we will never come to trust him. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden. We're back into the yada of knowing him enough to trust him, to trust his love and faithfulness enough to give it to him. We used to sing it, Brother Taylor, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you're going to pray about anything, when you say amen, walk out from under that worry and that fear. Don't let it torment you any further. Amen. Trust him with it. Amen. And to trust him with it, you've got to have a fellowship relationship with him, or you will carry it back out. If a stranger came and said, I'm going to put $100,000 in your bank account, I wouldn't even check my bank account. I don't know you. Amen. And I'm not going to have you get my hopes up and dashed, and I'm not going to put my trust in you. Meet me at the Cadillac dealership back when Cadillac was the car. What's the car now? Anybody know? For the rich, the real filthy rich.
Tesla.
I have no idea. Okay. Anyway, if I was told, meet me at the dealership, I'm going to buy that car for you, I wouldn't be at the dealership. just to see. No. See, that's not trust, just to see. Well, I'm going to pray and just see. No, I'm going to pray and believe. Yeah. Whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you take that burden out, you have not believed yet. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. I do not say that I shall pray for you, for the Father Himself loveth you. I spoke to you in words, stories, parables, but when the Holy Spirit is come, He will show you plainly of my Father. He will tell you clearly, and you will see clearly, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to know you. So many Christians know about Him still. They know they're saved because they know He's a Savior and they've accepted Him. That's not knowing Him. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, was caught up into third heaven and saw things he was not able to utter. God told him, don't tell what you've seen. He didn't write a book and make a bunch of money. Each person who has that experience sees different stuff, and none of it lines up with the book of Revelation, who God gave that revelation of heaven to. Sorry about that. Get rid of the book and get into the Bible. Did you hear what I said? Get rid of the book and get into the Bible. Well, I want to know what it's like. And this person was dead for 20 minutes. Yeah, but they didn't go to where they're going to spend eternity. They went somewhere, met somebody, and came back. But there's a time coming when you die and you go somewhere. And a tree falls, so shall it lie. Listen carefully. Get rid of those books about it. Get in the Bible. Because it's the only authority. And it's all about Jesus. Listen carefully. They know about Him. That's why this closing scripture on Father's Day, John 14:8-9. Philip saith unto Him, Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you so long time, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Amen. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? How did that work? Somebody asked me, how did that work? Thank you. The words that I speak, Jesus said, are not mine. But what I hear my Father say, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Whatever I do is God in me and God literally in flesh, manifest in flesh. And the words I speak are not mine, but what I hear my Father say. Everything I did and everything I said is letting you see the Father, that you may know your God as your Father. I go to my God and your God. I go to my Father and your Father. People who don't know the Father through the Son don't know God at all. And I want to absolutely finish this real quick. To fully know the Father, we must fully know Jesus. If you haven't seen Him, you can never see the Father, because He's the only one that can show us God. One of my concerns is, as a pastor, is that I represent Him well and that I'm able to point you to Him and encourage you to get to know Him for yourself. There's no filmmaker in Hollywood. There's no false religion knocking on my door that can change what I know about God and about Jesus, because I've met Him. Hallelujah. Amen. And I have seen Him through the revelation of the Spirit and through the understanding and revelation of Christ, who He is. Because when you've seen Him, you've seen the Father. And if you haven't seen Him, you will never know God. Amen. And you'll never be strong in your faith. A.W. Tozer wrote a book that hungry Christians, back when they were hungry to know God, bought as a bestseller, The Pursuit of God. David had the desire, but he didn't have the opportunity that we have and the privilege that we have. Church is boring if you don't meet the Master. Amen. Church is a waste of your time if you don't seek the Lord. And if you don't, and I'm not talking about goose pimples Pentecostal. Come on, I'm not talking about when you get that Pentecostal blessing. I'm talking about the blessing of knowing God so well that you walk out of here and cast your burden on Him, because you and Him are in a relationship, and you know, as Paul said, I know whom, it's Yada, I know whom I have believed. I don't just know that I believed in Him. I know whom I have believed. And something happened in his faith and his heart, and am persuaded that He's able. There's not a doubt in my mind. Thank God. Hallelujah. There's no doubt in my mind that He is able. And that word able in the Greek connotates and in context is He's able and faithful to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm not worried about being lost. I'm not worried about going to hell. I'm not worried about the judgment to come, because I know whom. Not in whom. We all believe in Jesus, on Jesus, but I know whom I believed in. Amen. And it brought a persuasion in my heart. Listen, you don't wait till you get in the emergency room and draw your last breath, amen, at hospice or at beside the road in a car wreck, to find out those footsteps coming down the hall are not angels to take you to heaven, but demons to claim you for hell. You don't wait that long. You come to Christ, and you come to know Him, and you come to trust Him. And I'm going to tell you, if you can trust Him with where you spend eternity, I believe you could trust Him with what's bugging you. Amen. What's taken away your joy, your peace, your witness to the world. I know whom I have believed. Mars Hill, once again, Paul's sermon. Yeah. The Greeks had a myriad of gods, and they had statues to their gods. And Paul blurted out when he brought the gospel, you don't know who you believe. You got all these gods. You don't know one of them. But we know. Yeah. We know. We know who we believe. Can you say amen? And he preached Christ to them. Because we know the Father through the Son. I don't even need glasses for this. I wrote big. In case I forget my glasses, I write big. You say, he forgot his glasses. It's going to be a short service. Yeah, right. Anyway, keep on hoping. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. I've heard theologians try to explain Him. They can't do it to the world's satisfaction. They can't do it to my satisfaction. Amen. Only Jesus can show me the Father. Amen. We had a theologian that had he could argue the gospel. He was an apologist for the faith. In fact, he had a program called something about thinking. It was all about your mind conceptualizing the theology, and you could argue the faith with college professors and on a college level. And I thought, if I had to argue the faith on a college level, it's all over. Remember back when it first started, this separation of church and state, and in schools, you were not supposed to have a Bible or any of that stuff. Plant High School here in Tampa, I remember distinctly that a young man, he said, he was in a senior year at Plant High School, And he said he was in a world literature elective class, senior class, just a fill-in, maybe college prep. And they were studying books that had an impact on the whole world. And so one of those books was the Bible. And so the teacher, he said, does anyone know anyone could come to 1 hour and talk about Bible patriarchs, those fathers of the faith like Abraham and you know, Samson and King David? And his hand went right up. And he said, my pastor, I'm sure he would come. So he came back and told me, and at first I was flattered. They want me to come to Plant High School when it's against the rules to talk about God and Jesus. And then he told me the subject, because I'm a Jesus man. Amen. I'm not a Jesus only, I'm an only Jesus. There's a vast difference. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I wanted to tell him about Jesus, the Savior. What's important, not the religion, but the relationship we can have. A reconciled, sin-forgiven relationship with God, and come to know the Father well enough to call Him Abba, Father, when we address Him. Hallelujah. So I got thinking, that's boring. I looked up in everything I could look up on Bible patriarchs. I wanted to give a dissertation on this one and that one and the other one, these people that were so famous as part of the Christian religion and part of the Old Testament, the Jewish religion. And I said, Lord, I'm not good at this. I'm not anointed for this. But if you want to talk about Jesus, that's when it kicks in. Amen. So I studied a little bit about Abraham. And I said, and Samson, David, people I knew was a byword that everybody had heard about. And I said, you know what's unique? When I opened it up, and the teacher's sitting there, you know how to look that way. He's looking very serious and somber. And I said, all right. I said, have you ever heard of Abraham, Father Abraham? Yeah. Have you ever heard of Samson? Yeah. How about David slaying Goliath? How about these champions and these men who did such exploits for God and did you know why they were able to do that? I said, in each one of them, they knew God. Amen. They knew God. They didn't just know about Him. They knew God. You don't face a giant and say, I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Amen. And run at him. And he's a giant, and he's demon-possessed on top of that, most likely. And he runs at him, and he's a boy with a sling. If you don't know God, you don't do that. But they do know their God. You come to me, all you got is your size and your spear and your sword. But I come against you in the name, to know a name back in that day, to know a name was not just to know the name, but to know a person that the name represented. Amen. You come at me with a sword and spear and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And how many know the giant fell? David pulled, it's R-rated now. We're going into R-rated preaching. He pulled his sword out of the giant's sheath, and he chopped his head off. And then they put the head of the giant on a pike, on the end of this pike, and showed all Israel and the heathen army. There's something in a name. There's something in someone that knows God. Hallelujah. They that do know their God will do what? Be timid and take shelter. No, they'll be strong and do exploits. How about it? Amen. I got all these hands that heard of those people. And I said, you would have never heard of Abraham if he didn't know God. You would have never heard of Samson if he didn't know God. You would have never heard of David if he didn't know God. And then a very intelligent young man, I'm going to put my glasses on for this the last time in closing. I thought, oh no, here comes the questions. He said, how can we know God? And I thought, wow. No more Bible patriarchs. No more dissertation on them. Now it's the gospel. You come to know God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So I looked at the teacher and I said, sir, because I know, you know, this thing can go south real easy here. Separation of church and state, no Bible in school. So I said, sir, can I answer this question? He said, didn't even look up over his glasses. I said, well, sir, I'm going to have to leave the subject appointed me. And I'm going to have to go from the old covenant patriarchs to the New Testament to answer this question. Will that be okay? Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Amen. And he went. I had 45 minutes left. I had used up 15. And I thought, because I prayed before I went in. I said, Lord, I don't want to talk about some theological dissertation to people that need Christ. I want to tell them what Jesus can do for you in your heart and in your life. I was able to tell the salvation plan from the Word of God and present Jesus and present the gospel of the grace of God to a room full of seniors at Plant High School, because God set it up. The Holy Spirit set it up. It was set up for the gospel. And it should be telling to a lot of pulpits. Don't get up there and try to convince a gainsaying world with your theological understanding of Greek, Hebrew, and Chaldee that the Bible was written in. Get up there and preach it. Amen. Christ and Him crucified. Don't worry. Listen, but they need to find out that they're wrong in this. No, they need to meet the Master. If they meet Him, everything is going to change. And if they don't meet Him, nothing is going to change. Even if they embrace the Christian religion, they're not in a relationship with God. Amen. And hell is going to be full of church people that go to church. Jesus said it. Many will call me Lord on that day. I've done mighty works in your name. I've cast out devils in your name. I went to church every Sunday. I gave. I did this. I did that. I practiced the right religion well. Depart from me, you lawbreakers, you that work iniquity. I never, 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 I walked the aisle. I repeated what the pastor told me to repeat. I prayed the quote unquote little neat sinner's prayer. I never knew you. We're back in that word again in closing. I never yada. We had no relationship with one another. Religion has never saved anybody. The Christian religion or any other religion. The Christian faith is where you learn that you can only come to God through Christ and you can only know God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. And that word knew you is the intimate, personal sense. Our fellowship, koinonia, with the Father and His Son. The tragedy is that pulpits are not preaching this truth, and there are people claiming Christ that don't have a real, authentic relationship with Him. And they deserve to know before that day. You will be uncomfortable in this church if you're playing the role of a Christian instead of living the Christian life. It is not sinless perfection, but it certainly isn't sinful either. Sin doesn't reign because the devil doesn't rule. Jesus is now the Lord of your life, and you bow to no other. You don't date out. Hallelujah. You know people who go to church every Sunday. And if you ask them, do you know the Lord? They would give you an immediate yes. And I've met some of those people. Some of them I met in hospitals as we close. And I will hold this and you can hold that. In community hospital, I went to pray for a husband of a lady who came to our church, who went to church. He went to another church, because who would come to this church and hear this when you can be patted on the back every Sunday and told you're fine? Yeah. Who would come and be challenged unless you've got a heart to really know God and are serious about your salvation? I don't know about you, but I'm serious about my salvation. Amen. I want to know like Paul knew. I want to be so fully persuaded that not a doubt or a semblance of fear. I'm not afraid of dying. Amen. Because I know what's going to happen at the moment my spirit leaves my body. Because I know whom I have believed. I'm fully persuaded that He's able to keep what I've committed unto Him against that day. When many will say to Him on that day, Lord, Lord, and He said, I don't know You, but He knows me. And nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. Make no mistake about it, He will recognize you if you've come to Christ and it's genuine and it's authentic and it's real. We had a lady come in here. She was so excited. She had a burden we prayed for. She wept. The Spirit of God was moving. But I made a statement near the end of the service. This is not the church for everyone. And she never came back. Because it wasn't a place for her, obviously. Because she wasn't used to ever. There was love here. There was an anointing here. There was the Word of God here. But not to challenge. Not to challenge. You know why I challenge you? Because I love you and God loves you. And I'm going to tell you everything that the Bible says. Why? Because one day you'll draw your last breath and you're going somewhere forever. And God wants you in heaven. And He's charged me to call you with my voice. But only He can do that by the Spirit, and only you can respond. Amen. I want to be on the right road. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. And I want to know God well enough to cast my burden on Him. Because I went through nervous exhaustion as a preacher, student of Scripture, and a Christian. How did that happen? I didn't know Him like I needed to know Him. So I didn't trust Him like I needed to trust Him. I carried the burden. I experienced the anxiety, and it tore me down. My emotions couldn't take it. I broke under the load. Now, I think I've told you recently, I don't want to break under this kind of thing. I give things to God quickly. I refuse to let anybody put it back. I give y'all to the Lord. If y'all act up, I'm going to give you to God right quick. Amen. I'm not going to go home and, oh, my Lord, did you see what she did today? My goodness, how could she do that? Lord, she's yours. Yeah, This is not my sheep. I'm told to feed them. You're the one that does the other stuff. Are you here today? Why are you here? Some of you know the Bible better than I do, but I don't know if you know the Lord better than I know Him. Why? Because I trust Him. Hallelujah. And I have complete confidence in my salvation, and nothing and no one can shake it. Hallelujah. So Steven Spielberg's film that kind of wants people to shift their concept of God to some intelligent being that could be worshipped. And I think it's a setup for the Antichrist and for the image that's going to speak in the whole nine yards. We're getting set up for the coming of Jesus, the rapture of the church, the wedding supper. What a setup. Glory to God. I want to finish this anyway. Will you give me 5 minutes? Will you give me two? I only have two left.
What did you tell the kid?
I just did.
What did you tell the kid that when he said, how do you know him? What did you tell him?
Say that right here.
What did you tell the kids that played high school?
Oh.
What did you tell them?
What did I tell them? Yeah. I said the only way, according to Jesus Christ, the only way to know God is to have our sins forgiven and be reconciled to Him, because we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And all of us who have sinned are in need of a Savior. And you can't know God until you become right with Him. Amen. And the only way to be right with Him is to be reconciled to Him. And the only way to be reconciled to Him is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And we spent the rest of the time talking about that. And I told people at the end, if you don't know the Lord, you might even go to church. Like I'm telling you church people here today. You may go to church. You may teach Sunday school. You may grew up in a Christian home. You may not know God or anything about Him. But I pray that you will look and seek, that you might come to know Him.
Yeah,
and the Spirit of the Lord was there so strong. And after everyone without exception, now some of them would hate me and want to hurt me, but this is a different day, but they came up and shook my hand and said, thank you for coming. I knew God was working on hearts.
Amen.
They had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in Plant High School, in a senior class. Hallelujah. And then a young, looked like, well, she's a senior, 17-year-old, black girl came up. She came up and she's looking sly. She's looking up at me. She took me by the hand. She said, thank you for coming, Pastor, and speaking to us. And then with a knowing look, she looked me in the eye. And she said, you're Pentecostal, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. She said, and on top of that, you're Spirit-filled, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I knew it. I was praying for you. And I thought, Lord, I come in here to try to educate some people theologically. And I got to preach the gospel to them. And I came in here with you and with the Holy Spirit and with a young Pentecostal lady that recognized the anointings on this man. God is going to have Jesus exalted here today. This is not going to be a boring, can't wait to get out of world literature book class. Hey, man, this is going to be a time that people are going to hear the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I thought, Lord, I'm so glad I wasn't a theologian. I'm so glad I didn't know the Bible so well I could give a dissertation on patriarchs and show them all how theologically trained and smart I am. I'm glad I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
Appointed by God and anointed by God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when I start talking about Jesus, it kicks in. I would preach the rest of this to you. You couldn't take it. Amen. How many will come back to church sometime? Don't lie now. You'll come back sometime. Without a milkshake, promise. Without a girlfriend. Yeah, you could be a girlfriend. You realize you can't, no. She said, snakes, snails, and puppy dog tail. Ew. But she is what? Come on, ladies. Sugar, spice, and everything nice. Oh, yeah. Show us the Father. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
If you've never met the Master, you've never understood His words, His actions were showing us the invisible God. Scripture said He is the express image. Just exactly because He and the Father are one. Hallelujah. When you pray, He said, come to the Father. Ask in my name, but acknowledge your yada relationship with Him. Our Father who art in heaven. Do you understand the power? Don't even think about using your faith to believe Him for your need yet. Use your faith to accept the fact that He is your heavenly Father and begin your prayer for anything with my Father. You haven't asked the Father yet in my name. He knew He would be taken, and you'll need to know the Father. He will sit down at His right hand, but you've got a Father. So can we sing this song in closing? Our Father.